went off on her own to China with his support, and RHI, even though the basic bones of the story were known about since they wanted all the support in July, flared up. And so she came back tired and angry at all she'd heard about what was being said about her, and didn't catch the right mood for a number of days in response to it. Then there was, you know, if you want to go into the whole detail of this, I've probably given you the plot line of a possible book here. Then there was a Wednesday executive meeting where it looked like it was being settled down, and there's going to be an inquiry set up with the support of the First Deputy First Minister, and the Assembly was going to be told that on the following Monday, just before Christmas. And then two things happened. Jonathan Bell made his intervention, and the opposition parties tabled a motion effectively calling for Arlene Foster's head. And over the course of that weekend, Sinn Féin made the first demand by Martin McGuinness for Arlene Foster to step aside.
And given the fact that you were working with them both, and you were watching it from a very privileged position in terms of access, do you think, looking on it now, Sinn Féin have been wise to demand Arlene Foster steps aside?
Well, I think Sinn Féin found themselves in a difficult position for lots of reasons.
Don't duck the question.
Well, you know what? That remains to be seen.
But what do you think? You were watching. You were working for them both.
Yes, I was.
So, do you think it was wise for Sinn Féin to issue this ultimatum?
I wasn't working for them both as parties. I was working for them both as ministers.
Correct.
All I'll say is, I'm not ducking the question. If they've come to me for advice around that time, they were going to ask for a step aside. My advice would have been, do it in private first.